You're listening to Connecting Faith, and we've connected for the next few minutes with Tom Adama. Tom is co-founder and CEO of Heart for Lebanon. Heart for Lebanon was founded 10 years ago or so as a response to the devastation left behind after the conflict between Hezbollah and Israel. But since that time, they have ended up reaching out to refugees flooding into Lebanon from Syria. And we're going to get an update on the great work that they're doing and just introduce you to that work. Tom, first of all, though, I just want to get your perspective. I mean, our news coverage focuses on, sadly, mass shootings, but otherwise it's floods and hurricanes, and we're pretty focused internally. Is anyone even paying attention to what's going on in Syria and the refugee crisis in Lebanon?
Well, it's funny, Neil, and thank you for giving me this opportunity, but it's funny that you start there, because as I look at the world scene today, everything from it's still in the news, Las Vegas, to North Korea, to different events, the three hurricanes that hit our mainland, devastations all around us. As I listen to these, I have to realize that ultimately only God can and is going to defeat evil. And one of the places that we understand evil probably is taken great hold is in the country of Syria or in the Middle East, especially in Muslim countries. But yet, in the middle of all of that hardship and thinking and process and dark despair, this is the greatest moment in my lifetime, and I'm 69 now, that I've seen Muslims wide open to the gospel of Jesus Christ. You see it in the hurricanes and some of the situations where people come together, people who have never prayed are praying, and so you can see a little spark. But can you imagine coming out of the darkness of the Muslim world and really being wide open to the gospel? And the reason they're wide open to the gospel is a few things. One is, because of the devastation, the Muslim community as a whole are not taking care of their own people. And so when Christians come in as the light and the compassionate hands and voice of Jesus Christ, eventually they say, why are you doing this? What makes you so different? Which gives us a wide open door to share our faith. We can share our faith because we've built trust because of food and education and all that stuff, that humanitarian aid stuff that we do. But you have to also remember that Muslims, by and far, living in the country of Lebanon, are not your traditional Muslims. They're what we would call in the West nons. They're really not. They don't believe in anything. They wear the garb. They do the thing because it's tradition. But they've never read the Quran. They have never heard of Jesus. They just do life like a lot of people in America do life, I guess. And so they're very curious, and our Bible studies and now our Sunday services are expanding by leaps and bounds because of converted Muslims that are now believers in Jesus Christ.
Heart for Lebanon, you just touched on a few of the things that you're doing, but it really, did it start out as humanitarian aid? And talk about how, I mean, the holistic approach that you're bringing there.
Yeah, when we started, Camille Melke and I started Heart for Lebanon back in 2006, we decided that we really wanted to do something different. We would like to take a holistic approach, because as we read Scripture, it's just our belief, and we watched Jesus feed the 5,000 and other miracles that he did, he used a holistic approach. It wasn't just about the gospel, and it wasn't just about humanitarian aid, and it wasn't just about education. It wasn't niched. It was a holistic ministry that started with some transaction, helping the people where they are, where their need was, and leading them, pulling them into a conversation, which we call relational engagement, and then leading them through conversation, pulling them into Bible studies, seekers meetings, if you want to use that terminology, and they find faith in Christ. We don't want to push anybody because we do everything unconditionally. So we have these conversations, and we word it that we pull them or we lead them to where we believe they need to be to accept Christ as their personal Lord and Savior. In fact, as you're playing this interview or sharing this interview, on Thursday of this week, if you were with me in Lebanon, Neil, you would see a family of four being baptized in the Mediterranean Sea. The reason they're being baptized today, this Thursday, is because we started feeding them with a bag of food every month, and we did it consistently for 10 months. That led them to seek Jesus, to put their kids in the school, which they found Christ, which went back home, and their lives were different than the other kids in the 10 settlements. Mom asked questions, she became a follower of Christ, then Dad did, then brother did, then sister did, and now they're mature enough where they came and said they want to be baptized. So we do a holistic approach to our ministry.
You mentioned the camps. As we understand it, Lebanon is really overrun with millions, literally, that have been fleeing from the war.
Yeah, in Lebanon right now, there's 2 million. A little over 2 million Syrian refugees in a country of 4 million. Every one of those Syrian refugees are there illegally. They do not get refugee status. It's the only country in the world where Syrian refugees do not get refugee status. Now, before you get all upset about that, there's some good reasoning behind it. In 1948, the world said to the country of Lebanon, this is a very Western way of putting it, but said to the country of Lebanon, listen, if you take Palestinians, we'll fund it and we'll fix it, the problem. To this day, the world hasn't funded that problem, nor have they fixed it. And today in Lebanon, there's some 700,000 Palestinians that have refugee status living in camps. And the Lebanese government is saying, in essence, you burned us once, you're not going to burn us twice. We're not doing this again. And so that's why they don't get refugee status, which means the UN doesn't do any work on the ground. In reality, many of your worldwide organizations, because they don't get refugee status, will not work. That's why it's a great opportunity right now for the church to stand up and be the hands and feet of Jesus Christ.
You mentioned, you know, humanitarian aid, there's education, there's relational engagement. Give us a little sense of what the needs are and how Heart of Lebanon works kind of step by step.
Well, step by step is when most of the Syrian refugees come into Lebanon, as I said, not only illegally, but they walk there. So they have virtually nothing, zero, except for their clothes on the back. And they pitch a tent, which is really not the right imagery, but it's the best I can come up with, because they find some old sticks and billboard tarps and wrap it around the sticks, and they live in there. Maybe two, three families, average family of six. So you might have 18 people living in a space that's 6 by 6. Very cold in the winter because Lebanon is not a desert. It does snow in the Baca Valley during the winter and up in the mountains. And so you have to provide for them basic human needs, food, supplement food portions. We provide it, help them become food secure. We provide some chickens for them so they have fresh eggs. We do mattresses and clothes and just a variety of humanitarian aid issues. And we do that to 3,000 families every month. That's a cost of about $200,000 every month for our humanitarian aid portion. Then we have a school system, three schools. Each school has about 100 students in it for 300 total, one in the Baca, one in the Beirut, one in the south. They get a real full day of education. Once again, Syrians, because they don't have refugee status, cannot go to school unless they have a whole lot of money, which they don't. And we give them math, English, Arabic, character traits, and leadership habits, plus chapel and Bible studies. So it's a full-rounded education. This year we're adding grade 4. We cannot give them a diploma, but we do give them some paper that they can use that says they've been, you know, good students and good grades and all that sort of things. And so $1,800 a year, it helps us put a child through our education program. It's a 12-month program, not a normal 9- or 10-month program. It's a 12-month program. Summer looks different in that we use more of a camp atmosphere than a classroom atmosphere or environment for them. So it really is a unique opportunity for us to reach out. We have the capacity to do more. It's just a matter of more prayers and more financial investments.
For those who want to find out more, give us the contact information. It's Heart for Lebanon. Tell us how we can find out more.
heartforlebanon.org. Go to our website. All the information you need is there. And if it's not there, just hit info and that comes directly to me and I'll answer your question. Just go to our website, heartforlebanon.org.
this crisis is not ending anytime soon, is it? So I'm imagining that there's opportunities for years to come, really.
Yeah, the UN says that if we are all wrong and the Syrian civil war ends today, it will take 18 to 20 years to rebuild Syria to make it livable again. And so it's not going away anytime soon, not in my lifetime anyway. But that gives us, once again, back to the church, that gives the Church of Jesus Christ a great opportunity, not only to share the love of Christ with these people and to lead them into faith, but to disciple them, to build a new mission force of Syrian refugees to go back to their country as missionaries of the gospel of Jesus Christ. I don't like it that they have to live in this extreme poverty that they're living in Lebanon. I don't like the conditions. I don't like the rubble in Syria. I'm not condoning war. But I think God has allowed this because without this opportunity, we would never have had this massive scale opportunity to reach the Syrians with the gospel of Jesus Christ and to disciple them properly to go back as strong, well-rooted believers in Jesus Christ.
Find out about the great work of Heart for Lebanon. Go to heartforlebanon.org and find out how you can play a part in the work that they're doing in this tremendous need. Tom Adama is co-founder and CEO of Heart for Lebanon. Again, go to heartforlebanon.org for more. Tom, blessings to you, and may the ministry just continue to grow and lives continue to be changed. We're just honored to connect with you today.
Thanks so much, Neil, for your friendship and for your prayers and all your support. And thank you for your listeners. God bless you very much.
You can hear more of today's show if you missed part of it. I want to just listen to it again. We post our interviews on the Connecting Faith show page at myfaithradio.com. Go to myfaithradio.com, click on Connecting Faith to hear today's conversations, and invite you to join us again tomorrow here on Faith Radio.